experiencing some fucking.
So over the years of having Sagada Shul, we've had different styles. So if I'm not mistaken, I think the first year we decided we're going to go straight. So we got about halfway. Second year we started from halfway, we got to the end. So now what do we do in the next years? So I thought that since
backwards.
So in the past we try to give a little more marachas, you know, more mahalchim a little bit. I thought maybe we'd just give a little shorter little things, you know, things that sometimes it's hard to say whole marachas at the Seder. Some training was at the Seder. So I thought maybe we'll just go along and just highlight things that come to mind, different things that I sometimes say at the Seder, things I've said in the past, other things. So we'll just, you know, kind of a play by here a little bit, and we'll try to present some interesting insights into different parts of Maggid. So we opened up the first real part of Maggid. The answer to the Manishtad, of course, begins with Avadim Ha'il Lefar B'Mitzrayim. This is a machlokes in the Gemara, whether this is the fulfillment of Maschel B'Gnus or Messiah B'Shevach. The Mishnah says in Psochim that when you say over Sibutzis Mitzrayim, so you have to start with the bad and end with the good. So according to at least one opinion of the Gemara, that is referring to the physical bad and the physical good, and that would be the fulfillment by saying Avadim Ha'il Lefar B'Mitzrayim, Yotzien Hashem B'Mitzrayim B'Yad Chazocha. So there is a very strange phrase that we mentioned in this passage in Agoda. We make a very bold historical statement that if not for the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, so we would still be Meshubadim Ha'inu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. So that statement is a very questionable historical statement. A lot of things have happened since the days of the pharaohs in Egypt. There have been a lot of revolutions. There aren't any pharaohs in Mitzrayim anymore. So it's hard to believe that we mean this literally, that if HaKadosh Baruch wouldn't have taken us out of Mitzrayim, we would still, 3,500 years later, still be working and building pyramids in Egypt. So it's hard to believe that. So the truth is that if you look at the Lashon of the Haggadah, so the Lashon changes a little bit, that the parallel Lashon should have been, it should have said that we would still be Avadim. We started out the passage by saying, Avadim Ha'inu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. So we're trying to contrast that by saying that if not for the fact that Mitzias Mitzrayim, we'd still be Avadim. We don't say that. We say Meshubadim Ha'inu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. So what's the difference between being an Eved and being Meshubad? So some of the Mefarshim point out that Meshubad is more of a mindset. Meshubad doesn't refer to necessarily a physical avdos. It means we're not staking a historical claim that we would still be building pyramids. What we're saying is that we would have been so mushba, we would have been so meshubah to paro, we would have been so meshubah to with the culture and the effect, the negative influences of paro Mitzrayim, that in fact, even if we would have been physically freed, so we wouldn't have really become Am Hashem. There would have been no way for us to become Am Hashem. So if that's what the passage in the Haggadah is referring to, then it's alluding to the famous Maamar Chazal about the Memtei Sharei Tumah, that there were 50 levels of Tumah, and Klai Yisrael had sunk already to the 49th level, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that if you don't take them out of Mitzrayim now, so then they're going to be beyond repair. So not that they'll be beyond repair physically, but they'll be beyond repair spiritually. So perhaps that's what's alluded to in this phrase of Meshubadim, you know, the change from the word Avodim to the change Meshubadim. We make note in this passage in the Haggadah that we have a mitzvah l'sapi b'tzias Mitzrayim, even if we're all chachamim, we're all nevonim, we're all zakenim, we're all yodim as a Torah. So l'chora, what exactly was the Havamina? Why would anyone have ever thought that just because you're a zoker and a chacham, so you don't have to tell of b'tzias Mitzrayim? But we don't say that if we're kulan is a kaidim, we have to keep Shabbos. Well, of course you have to keep Shabbos. Well, the Shabbos is one of the mitzvah Torah. So the chara, what Chazal are telling us is that one would have perhaps had a misunderstanding of the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. That one could have conceived that the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim is like a subcategory of Talmud Torah. That it's part of the general mitzvah of the same way there's a mitzvah to learn Sefer Vayikra, there's a mitzvah to learn Sefer Shmos, there's a mitzvah to learn Maseches Bava Metzia, there's a mitzvah to learn Maseches Psachim. So one would have thought that the whole mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim is just a subcategory of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So one could have made a case that I know it already. So Achli Yemes says, if I know Psachim backwards and forwards, upside down, I should not learn something else. I should learn Bava Metzia. I should learn Zvachim. I should learn Taurus. So one would have said that. What do you have to waste time with the Seder, saying over the same stories, the same Midrashim, saying over the same Haggadah? If you already know it backwards and forwards, I'll learn something different. So Kamash, Malon, and the Haggadah is, then no. Is that the mitzvah of Sipetz Yes Mitzrayim is not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's a very, very different mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov to Rebbeinu Shlom. It's a mitzvah to be Mashrish Amunah. There are also many other dimensions of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So those other dimensions, even if you know it already, there's still a karsa tov. I already, if I benched yesterday, so I ate again today, I have to bench today. I made a bracha yesterday, I have to make another bracha today. So I have to constantly be makir tov to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not an intellectual mitzvah, see b'tzias mitzrayim. It's not a mitzvah like Talmud Torah, that if you know this stuff already, okay, so then you learn a different sugya. So here, kamash malan, that it's a very different type of a mitzvah, and one is mechuyev, even if one is tachat kulani yodim mitzvah Torah. The next two passages in the Haggadah, according to the Rambam, are really one passage. We introduce by saying, Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, and then we say, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the Rambam's girsa in the Haggadah was, Amar Lahem Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah spoke to the other Tanoim and said to the other Tanoim at that famous night, that Seder that took place in Bnei Brak. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said to the other Tanoim, Harani Kivenshim Shon, and he began to discuss the issue of Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. So this is a difficult understanding of the Rambam, because when we think about the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, so we think that we're supposed to focus on two aspects. We're supposed to focus on the Nisim and the Niflos, and we're supposed to focus on the Mitzvah Salayla, the Pesach Matzo Moror. So what is the mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim all year long? Have to do anything. Why should you speak about this at the Seder night? It's a nice sugya. It's an interesting sugya. The first break of brachas, Achlekes Atanoi, Ben Zoman, Rabbanon. Do you say the third parasha of Kriyash at night? Do you not say it at night? Is it Kol Yimechayel? Yes, no, maybe so. But why does that discussion belong at the Seder? Why is there an Indian dafka at the Seder? And according to the Rambam's Girsa, so that's exactly what they were talking about. That was the discussion, that was the topic of discussion at that famous Seder. So some of the Mefarshim suggest that perhaps the Kavana is as follows, that if you want to get a glimpse as to how great Yetzias Mitzrayim is, so the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim each day and every night teaches you as the significance of it. Because when you have something which is not such a chashuv thing, the Torah gives you a mitzvah which is not so chashuv, it's not so important, so you do it once a year. The Torah gives you a mitzvah, you do it once a week. The Torah gives you a mitzvah you have to do every single day, every day and every night, according to some. So that in and of itself indicates the godliness of that particular mitzvah. So that mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is megala to us, the greatness of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is gufa kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's not that we just stop. It was cute, they picked the mitzvah to talk about it. How to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim, so why not talk about it at the Seder? No, the thrust of the Seder, the theme of the Seder is dafka to be megadol the Yetzias Mitzrayim, dafka to speak about the greatness of the events of Leil Tezvav Nisan. So the fact that the Torah went out of its way to give us a special mitzvah to commemorate day and night, that gufa shows the godless of the mitzvah, of the godless of the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We introduced the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Chumash itself with the model of Yigadat Alevincha, Kenegan Arba Bonim, Dibur Torah. So why is it that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is formalized in this way? Dafka through the concept of Arba Bonim, dafka through the idea of a relationship of a father to a son. So I think perhaps the reason is as follows. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos that an Eved, the person who's an Eved Kanani, has no relationship, has no family relationship to his children. The Gemara draws a distinction between a non-Jew and an Eved Kanani. The Gemara says that a non-Jew is related to his children, even in the halachic sense. Gemara says if you have a non-Jew who has children, and then they all convert together, so the non-Jew is Yaitzin and Mitzvah Peruvu, because they're his children. There's a lot of lumbus in that sig. We're not learning Yevamos right now. A lot of lumbus. When he did the mitzvah, he was potter, and the chaschina, chaturiyah, but for another time, another place. But Levi's, the Gemara says that he's yaitzei the mitzvah. In contrast to an Eved Kanani, says the Gemara, an Eved Kanani has children, he has biological, physical children, and then him and the children are freed, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. Why? Because an Eved has no yachas, an Eved has no connection to his children. His children are api alocha, not considered to be related to him. So that idea, the significance of family, that was something that was nischadish in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That particular relationship between a father and a son was something that was nischadish in Yetzias Mitzrayim. I mean, we know this from slavery and slavery in American history. You know, since slavery in other parts of the world, that slavery destroys the family unit. That the master's in charge; he can move the children to one place and the parents to another place. There's no shaykhus. There's no connection between parents and children. So perhaps that's why Dafka, the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Dafka Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim was given to us in the tzura, in the form of parents to children, to be madgish, to emphasize the significance of the family unit. We spoke about this in several occasions. That's perhaps why so many of the mitzvahs of Pesach night and Pesach in general revolve dafka around the house. That there's no other mitzvah that involves the house as much as Pesach. As a Choraya, you can see what the house is starting to look like. Most houses look like total chaos at this point. So that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. That means that shows that in contrast to all the other mitzvahs, it's the mitzvahs of bias. Bias doesn't only mean physical house. Bias means a family also, means a household. So perhaps the reason why the Torah gives us all these mitzvahs of chametz has to be taken out of the house, and tashbisa somim batechem, and the korban pesach is eaten in the house, and the blood is put on the doorpost of the house. Everything is around the house, because to emphasize this idea that the bracha, that special matan of a family, was given to Klai Yisrael dafka at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But perhaps that's the reason why the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is dafka, father to son, that it's not even Rebbe to Talmud, father to son, because the family unit, the parent-child relationship, was the schadish at this moment. When we speak about I'm just talking about families and fathers and sons, some things, grandfathers. So we speak about the Ababonim, so the first of the sons, the Chacham, has a very lumdish question, the Eidus and the Chukim and the Mishpatim, and we'll give him a very, very lumdish answer. We say to him, Eim Aftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman, so there are many who interpret this phrase to mean, not that we highlight this halacha and we just teach him this one halacha, but rather, Eim Aftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman is the very end of Maseches Pesachim. It's the second to last Mishnah in Pesachim. So Eim Aftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman means that when the Chacham asks such a lumdish question, so you take out of Maseches Pesachim and you learn the halachas with him. So this idea that learning the halachas is a part of the mitzvah salayla, this is something we spoke about in the past on many different occasions. We find this in many Mamari Chazal, that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim does not only include the stories, include the midrashim and the nisim and the flows, but includes the delving into the halachic part of the Seder as well. There's a statement of the Tesef, and the Tesef says, "Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Gamliel zekeinim she'oskim b'ilchus ha'Pesach kol ha'layla." Whereas the other Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, etc., they were talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim all night. Rabbi Gamliel and zekeinim are learning the halachas of the Pesach the entire night. It's not a machlokas; they're both right. That there are two parts of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim: the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in terms of the nisim and the flows, and then the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in terms of the halachas as well. And the reason is fairly obvious, that the whole thrust, the whole reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Nisim was Kilibre Yisrael Avadim, Avada Hem Shatzeis Yosam Eretz Mitzrayim. The whole purpose, the whole tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the mitzvahs that are given to Klal Yisrael. So if a person spends his entire Seder talking about the Nisim and the flows, and he doesn't relate to the mitzvahs, he doesn't say that therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Matzah, gave him Mor, gave us Pesach, so then it's a nice historical event, but he missed the boat, he missed the whole point. The whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Kitzotiachas, Am Mitzrayim, Tavdim, so Kibla Harazel. The whole point was Kabbalah Torah, the whole point was Shmiras HaMitzvahs, so then obviously you have to make due mention of Shmiras HaMitzvahs within the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. There is a famous comment that we have concerning the Rasha. When the Rasha asks this question, so we say about the Rasha, Lefisha Hosi, it's Atzmo Menaklal, Kofa B'Ikar. That's quite a strong statement. He was Hosi, it's Atzmo Menaklal, therefore he's Kofa B'Ikar. What does that mean? So, L'chor, this is what the Rambam is driving at Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam writes that, quoting the Mishnah in Masechah Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. Every Jew has a share in the world to come. Not all the same share, but Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. So comes the Rambam and says, quoting the Mishnah, there are some people who Eilem Chelek Olam Haba. What's the common denominator of people who don't have a share in the Olam Haba? So basically people who are Oker, that very status of Yisrael. It's Kol Yisrael Sheyesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba. Klal Yisrael are assured a place in the world to come. So a person has to be a card-carrying member of Klal Yisrael. If a person renounces his membership in Klal Yisrael, so then Taka Lav Dafka, he's going to have a Chelek Olam Haba. Umas Olam also have a Chelek Olam Haba. The Gemara says, Chasidi Umas Olam, Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. A person is an extra special, very fine chassid, even if he's not Jewish, he also has a share in the world to come. but he's not assured a place. I mean, just because he has to really, really earn it. Whereas Klal Yisrael are assured something. Doesn't mean they're going to get the greatest share, but just being a member of Klal Yisrael assures a person some degree of Chelek Olam Haba, unless he's no longer as a member of Klal Yisrael. How do you no longer be a member of Klal Yisrael? So that's what the Rambam discusses, certain Aveiras that are so fundamental, certain Hashkafas that are so fundamental. A guy doesn't believe in the Torah, a guy doesn't believe in Chisam Mesim, a guy doesn't believe in the Ikari Amunah, so then that's a different religion already. That's not a Yisrael. I mean, he has Kedushas Yisrael, technically. If he's Mekadosh Anisha, Anisha is Mekadoshas. But in terms of Olam Haba, so Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba. So the Rambam lists off an individual who doesn't have a share in the world to come, a person who is Porish Medarchei Tzibur. So what does it mean, a person who is Porish Medarchei Tzibur? So that means a person who, the Rambam writes, who it doesn't bother him when the Jewish people are suffering, and it doesn't bother him, he doesn't fast when they're having tidios, and he doesn't have a share in the community. He's very religious, says the Rambam. He's learning Daf Yomi, he's makbid at every chumra in the world, but he has no shaykhis to Klal Yisrael. He's doing Mamish's own thing. So the Rambam writes, such a person, it's not a Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, he's not part of Klal Yisrael. So being part of Klal Yisrael means a person is Mesana B'Tainas HaTzibur, and his mates Lo B'Tzaras HaTzibur, is Mispalel B'Shash HaTzfilim Mispalem, and he's part of the Jewish community. So that's considered to be someone who's part of Klal Yisrael. So l'chari, that's what we're picking on the Rosh here also, that the Rosh makes the statement, Ma'avoida Zayis Lachem. So he's a Rosh, okay. So being a Rosh doesn't mean that not necessarily he wouldn't have been Nigov, Lav Davka. There are a lot of people who weren't such Helik and Tzadikim who were also Nigel. Dosan Varir weren't the biggest Tzadikim, or Korach wasn't such a big Tzadik, he was also Nigel. So there are a lot of people who weren't the greatest Tzadikim who left Mitzrayim. But at least they were part of Klal Yisrael. At least they were still called to carry members of Klal Yisrael. The Rasha is that he puts himself already chutz the Klal. So Lefisha Hotzi Atzmo Min HaKlal Kofa Be'ikra. So that's tantamount to being Kofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as a Kofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, because he can't be part of Klal Yisrael without accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to the person who leaves the Tzibur also. So the Chara, this idea of the Hotzi Atzmo Min HaKlal Kofa Be'ikra is especially critical. It's important all the time, but it's especially critical at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because one of the fundamental reasons for the whole Shiva of Mitzrayim in the first place was to fuse Klal Yisrael, to merge Klal Yisrael into one entity, into one seaboard. We know that all the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim were ultimately the Hishtalshlus HaDvarim, was the end of the chain reaction of the events of Yosef and his brothers. So the whole chait of Yosef and his brothers was appearing in Klal Yisrael. There was a breakdown in the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. And the only way to be misaken that Achdus was to send Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim and to suffer together. And we know that when the Jewish people are attacked from the outside, so very often they become much stronger together. So here you had a whole 210 years of Avdus, and Klal Yisrael were taking care of each other. Vayuku Shelter B'nei Yisrael, that means that the Jews were getting hit themselves rather than hitting their fellow Jews. And there was a certain degree of Achdus that existed at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And here you have this one guy who says, Ma'avoyda Zayis Lachem Hotzias Atzom in a Klal. So he's undermining the whole point of Shiva Mitzrayim, the whole 210 years of suffering was supposed to create a Achdus of Klal Yisrael. This guy goes ahead and he says, Ma'avoyda Zayis Lachem. So that's Taka Kofa Be'ikra. That's Taka Eloy Sham Loya Nigel. The moment of truth of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's the time when Fakir, we have to dafka put ourselves into the Tzibur rather than taking ourselves out of the Tzibur. We respond to the Tam, the Chozik Yad Hotzianu Hashem Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. So that phrase, the Chozik Yad, in the strong hand, so we find this phrase very often in the Chumash in describing the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's interesting that this phrase, the Chozik Yad, happens to appear in Parshas Bo, at the very end of Parshas Bo, right before the mitzvah tefillin was given to us. The Torah says, "B'chozik yad tzionu Hashem Mitzrayim beis avdim, v'hikik shapar shchedim, v'chedis v'yol yosa yonchol, v'os b'nech," etc. So the Torah is, in a sense, contrasting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim b'chozik yad, and now there's a play in the word yad, v'yol chali osa yonchol. So then what do? You take your hand, and you put tefillin on your hand. So it's interesting that we all know that tefillin and dafka, not put on the stronger hand, tefillin put on the weaker hand. Your right hand, put it on your left hand, your left hand, put it on your right hand. If you do a little bit of both, so then you have a lot of problems. So, not problems, you have a lot of complicated tefillin shanas. So why is it that Tata, the mitzvah of tefillin is put on our arm, but yet it's put dafka on the weak arm? So I think the answer is that this mitzvah of tefillin on the weaker hand is trying to highlight the chazek yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we sometimes think in this world that we're powerful. So the tefillin is supposed to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's the chazek yad. That we can't even throw a ball with our left hand. Go try to bat unless you practice a lot. Try to bat, switch hit. That's a pashut. We can't do anything with our left hand. We're mamish nothing. We're so weak with our left hand. That's the end that we put our tefillin on, to make a statement that we shouldn't think that our right hand can accomplish anything in this world. That sometimes you have to put your left hand up. You put your left hand, put the tefillin on your left hand to indicate that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the chazak. Your hand, our hand is not as powerful as we sometimes think it is. After we finished the Abbanim, so we introduce the Yochel Beresh Chodesh. One would think that the mitzvah of the Seder begins Beresh Chodesh. Very strange Havamina. We start from Beresh Chodesh. It's not Pesach yet. So it's a strange Havamina. Then it has another strange Havamina. Yochel mi be'od yom. I might think that you should start the Seder mi be'od yom. So Tamalom ba'vozeh ba'vozeh lo mati l'shoshesh matzah mar menachem fanecha. So the Mefarshim explained that this is a very lumdish passage. People, they say this passage very quickly, they don't realize there's a lot of lumdish in this. So there's a Tosfos that, I think if I'm not mistaken, even wrote this up in Aliyah L'Regel. I didn't write this particular part of it, but I wrote part of it. So you'll get it. It's coming out tomorrow, next week, whenever it's coming out. So it says, Tosfos writes at the end of Masechet Pesachim, that Pesach night is the only night that you cannot start the Suda Mibiyod Yom. Is that wrote about? I think so. So and all other Yom Tov, you can start Mibiyod Yom. Shabbos, you can start Mibiyod Yom. But Pesach night, you can't start Mibiyod Yom. Because Pesach night is a special halach of Laila. So that's what the Mefarshim explained. Iba Yomahu Yocha Mibiyod Yom. I might think that Pesach is the same as all other nights, that there's a mitzvah Tosef as Yom Tov, so you can start Mibiyod Yom. Tamalor Bavor Zeh, Lo Bavor Zeh Lamat, Meshosh Yeshmatzim, Romanach Lefanecha. That the mitzvah of the Leil HaSeder is dafka b'layla and not b'yom. So it's interesting that even though we celebrate the mitzvahs halayla, dafka b'layla, which is really different from all other mitzvahs, 99% of the mitzvahs in the Torah are done in the daytime, in the sense of the Yom Tov mitzvahs. Let's say Tkiyah Shofar is dafka b'yom v'lo b'layla, and Lulav is dafka b'yom v'lo b'layla, and the Ikra Mikra Megillah is b'yom v'lo b'layla, and Sudas Purim is b'yom v'lo b'layla, and everything is pretty much b'yom v'lo b'layla. Pesach is really an exception to the rule. So even though the mitzvahs of Pesach take place at night, but somehow Pesach night is a different chaloshem of a night. That it's the only night where we say that it's a laila ke'or ta'ir. The Pesach night has like a din like yom. It's not mishnah. Al pi halacha, it's like yom. To such a strange degree that it's unheard of that what we do on Pesach night, we say halal on Pesach night. Everybody says it by the Seder, in some places say it even in Shul, something which is mamish unheard of. The Gemara says in Masechet Megillah that you're not allowed to say halal by night, you have to say halal in the daytime. Mizruch Shem Hashem, Mulol Shem Hashem, you only say halal in the daytime. And yet Pesach night was so different, the Leil HaGeulah was so fundamentally different, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed the night of Pesach with kochos of the daytime, that somehow it was lamalam in a teva. And even though it's dark outside, but it has the mechina of Yom, and therefore the mitzvahs that are given to us are dafka performed on the night of Pesach, to highlight this idea that the night of Geula is not Mishnah, Ki'ilu the sun is literally shining. Perhaps that's it's supposed to be a little bit of a foreshadowing what the pasuk says in the Navi that La'asad Lavo, so or a Levonik or a Cham, in old days and night it's going to be one big sunshining good in Yom for this year. So it's going to be somehow the days and nights going to be a different chalashem, whatever exactly that means. So it's not of Geula, everything is different. We speak about Mechila Ovdi Avodah Zarah Hayav Aseinus. That's what the Gemara says in Pesachim. This is the second opinion in the Gemara as to what the Maskeh B'Gnus HaMasayim B'Shevach is. That according to the first opinion, it was Avodah Mayina, which was the physical Golos and the physical Geula. And then we move on to the spiritual Golos and the spiritual Geula. So I think we've said this in the past, that this passage from the Navi Yehoshua, where we speak about Mechila Ovdi Avodah Zarah, Terech Avi Avram Avinachor, so we start to recount the Jewish history, going back to the beginning, from even before Avram Avinu. So we speak about Avram was born, and then we speak about Yitzchak was born, and then Yaakov and Esav were born, Esav in his way, and Yaakov in his way. And there's an obvious question, there's one player who's missing here, and that's Yishmael. If we're talking about the biological descendants of Avraham Avinu, as we mentioned, Esav, he was a biological descendant, Yishmael should have been in the list also. If we're only interested in the chain of transmission of our Mesorah, so then what does Esav have to do with anything? So, why does the Pasuk highlight Esav and leave out Yishmael? So the answer is very simple, that this Pasuk was given to Klal Yisrael. This is in the Nevuah of Yehoshua, at the end of the Sefer Yehoshua, right before he dies. So Yehoshua is trying to explain to Klal Yisrael what we're doing here in the first place. Here I just spent my whole life, his whole life work was to get Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. We conquered Eretz Yisrael, and we divided up Eretz Yisrael. Now you're here, and now Yehoshua is about to die. So he's trying to put things into proper perspective for Klal Yisrael, what they're doing in Eretz Yisrael in the first place. So the answer is that it was a special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu. For Echakas Avichim is Avraham Eivan Nohar Va'olichas. And now it says that Avraham Avinu was given Yitzchak and Yitzchak was given Yaakov and Esau. So what does that mean? So the Gemara Nedarim explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Kivi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. So from day one, Yishmael was not in the ballpark. Yishmael was not in the running for Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't the Zer of Avraham Avinu. He was the biological Zer of Avraham Avinu, but he was not the halachic heir. He wasn't the spiritual heir of Avraham Avinu. So therefore, there was never even a question that Yishmael had no share in Eretz Yisrael. That's why Kivi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. But the Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu ki bi Yitzchak, it was ki bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that some of the descendants of Yitzchak will be part of the Haftacha, and others of them will not be part of the Haftacha, to be determined later. So in theory, if Esav would have shaped up, if Esav would have been Roy Lekach, he in theory could have all been descendants of Esav. That was in the plan. It was a potential plan. It was a possibility of a plan. So now things didn't work out that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew b'tchila, but Yaakov was the one who was Roy Lekach. He was Zocha to the Baruch. He was Zocha to be the heir, the spiritual heir of Yitzchak. But it wasn't Muchach like that from day one. But Yishmael wasn't even in the running. So that's what the Pesukim mean. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avraham Avinu and he gave him Eretz Yisrael, and then he gave him Yitzchak. He didn't give him Yishmael. Yishmael's not in the parasha. He's not even in the ballpark. Then he gave Yitzchak, he gave Yaakov and Esav. And then, wait a second, either one of them could have gotten Eretz Yisrael. But Esav didn't want it. But Esav is Harsel and Rachel. So the Gemara says that Esav didn't want Eretz Yisrael. He went, why didn't he want Eretz Yisrael? Because Rashi quotes from Chazal that getting Eretz Yisrael had a price tag to it. The price tag was 210 years of Mitzrayim. So you had to have Shiva Mitzrayim. So Esav made a chesh. It's not worth it. So Esav never had a tie into Eretz Yisrael because he turned it down. So that's what the Pasuk says. Either one of them in theory could have gotten Eretz Yisrael, but I gave Harsir because he didn't want Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avon of Yerodim Mitzrayimah. So now we understand the contrast. Yaakov Avon of Yerodim Mitzrayimah, because that was the price tag. They were willing to pay the price for Eretz Yisrael. So the whole series of Psukim reads beautifully. The whole point of the Psukim is not just stop to ramble on about Jewish history from 3,500 years ago, but the point is to tell us, what are we doing in Eretz Yisrael in the first place? So we're in Eretz Yisrael because we're the only ones with the descendants of Avraham Avinu actually are entitled to Eretz Yisrael. So Esav lost his rights to Eretz Yisrael, and Yishmael never had his rights in the first place. So we should tell some people in the world about this passage in the Haggadah, that Yishmael wasn't even in the running. He wasn't even up to bat. So there is the famous part of the Haggadah we pick up, we sing the Yishamdal Avasein of Alonu. So we speak about what's kept Klal Yisrael alive all these years. So what is the Vihisha Amda? So the Vihisha Amda is clearly referring to the Bris Ben Absarim, that the pasuk that we just said immediately before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a special bris with Avraham Avinu, that we're going to survive forever, and that's what the Vihisha Amda Lava say, that's what keeps us going in each generation. So there is a pshetel that's said, but there's some pshetels that stop pshetels, and some pshetels have a lot of truth to them. So there's a little pshetel that said that Vihisha Amda is referring to the picking up of the cup of wine. Because we know we pick up the cup of wine, we get Vihisha Amda, so we put down the cover of the matzahs, and we pick up the cup of wine. So Vihisha Amda means it's the wine that's kept us alive. So wine kept us alive. How did the wine keep us alive exactly? So the wine is symbolic of the separation of the barrier between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. Because we know that wine, the whole Isser of Stam Yenam was instituted by Chazal to draw a certain line of demarcation. The Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that the Chachamim prohibited the wine of Goyim really for two reasons. One was because maybe Taka the non-Jew moved the wine of Avodah Zarah, touched the wine of the Shem of Avodah Zarah. And the other reason is Mishum Chasnos, that since wine is usually associated with social, intermingling, so we're afraid that if a person goes to a non-Jewish neighbor, they'll drink his wine, so that may lead to Chasna, to intermarriage, other types of assimilation. So if he Shamdal of a Saint of Alanu, so we make a statement, we say that you want to know what's kept us separate? Is that Yaakov, it says in the Pasuk, Vayishkol Nishrael Betach Badad Ein Yaakov, that Hein Am Levadad Yishkol Nabahim Lo Yis Chashav. That Klal Yisrael knows that even when we're in the midst of Golos, so how we relate to the Umos HaOlam, so we have to relate in a polite way, we have to be courteous, and we have to always make a Kiddush Hashem, but on the other hand, we have to know where to draw the lines. And there are certain lines in the sand, certain lines of demarcation, and wine is symbolic of that line of demarcation. So perhaps that's what's kept us alive in all these generations. Isha Abdullah is saying that being able to draw those lines of demarcation. So perhaps this idea is has an even deeper meaning, specifically about the Pesach story. So the Beis HaLevi has a comment in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, when the pasuk says that Klal Yisrael were multiplying. There's so many of them, Batimalei Aretz Osam. So they were going everywhere. So what does it mean, Batimalei Aretz Osam? So they were running to wherever the Egyptians were going, they were going. So the Egyptians were going to the theater, they were going to the theater. The Egyptians were going to the stadiums, they were going wherever the Egyptians were. They were the Klal Yisrael were in the forefront. So it wasn't just stop that they were getting caught up in Egyptian culture, but Klal Yisrael made a calculation. They realized that here were foreigners in a foreign land, so the only way for us to in a sense, cut down on anti-Semitism, the best way for us to cut down on anti-Semitism is to become as friendly as possible with the Umos HaOlam, to knock down all the barriers, that Mustam will ingratiate us with our host country, and everything will be good for us. So the exact opposite was true, that the more that the Mitzrim saw they were becoming mamish entrenched into their culture, so they more than Mitzrim resented them. So the Beis HaLevi says this has been an ongoing saga for Jewish history. Thousands of years this has been playing out, that Klal Yisrael goes into Golus, and the more they think that they're going to, the best way to avoid anti-Semitism is to become closer, to become more socially acceptable, and at the end of the day it always backfires. So it backfired in Mitzrayim, it backfired many times, unfortunately, throughout our Golus. So perhaps that's why this idea of Isha Amda, even though it's really not the pshat of Isha Amda, but the message I think is an important message, and it's an important message particularly around Pesach time. So we highlight how Lavan was Bikish Lakor Sakol, whereas Paro wasn't so bad. He was just Logoz El Zacharim. So what would have happened, what can imagine for a minute, what Klal Yisrael would have looked like if Chalila Paro would have been successful? Let's say Paro would have succeeded in destroying all the Jewish males. So what would the Jewish people have looked like? So the Beis HaLevi says that they still would have been Jewish, because we know that Kedushas Yisrael goes through the mother, even though there are some Rishonim who say that only started after Matan Torah, it's a Machlokes Tais in the Ramban. But assuming that Kedushas Yisrael goes through the mother even from prior to Matan Torah, so there still would have been Jews in the world. So you imagine what it would have looked like. So you would have had Jewish girls who would have been born, and there wouldn't have been any chassanim around, so they would have had to marry the Egyptians. So you would have had Jews, all the children would have been Jewish, but they would have had non-Jewish fathers. So you can imagine what would have happened to Klal Yisrael. So the Levi says that even though Kedushas Yisrael goes to the mother, but the concept of Kahuna, the concept of Levi, and the concept of Malchus, so that goes to the father. So that's why the Beis HaLevi explains, that's why the Mialdos, those Jewish midwives, who are the ones who saved the day, the ones who saved the boys, that's why Rashi quotes from Chazal, Vayitev Elokim LeMialdos, what was the bracha that he gave them? They became the Kohanim and the Levim and the Melochim. Because there's Mida Kineg and Mida. They're the ones who ensured that not just there would be Jews in the world. Jews in the world would have been even if Pharaoh's decrees would have been successful. They were the ones who ensured that there were Jewish males in the world. So Taka and that's Chus, they were given that tremendous bracha.
What?
So this idea that we mentioned before, that when Klal Yisrael finds themselves in Golos, so even though their initial reaction is, one would think that the closer they get to the non-Jews around them, the better off it's going to be for them. So already it's counterintuitive. You take a step back, that helps. Again, doesn't mean one should not misinterpret that idea of taking a step back to mean that one makes a chil Hashem and one is not polite and one is not proper and one is not friendly. No, those things are all good, positive things, but everything has to be in the proper context. Already Yosef understood that from day one, that when the pasuk says V'yerid Mitzrayma, so Yosef already was maneuvering that to Yeshvun up in Eretz Goshen. So the fact that he wanted Klai Yisrael to be in Eretz Goshen wasn't only because they were shepherds. That's also true. They were shepherds and they wanted them to be separate. But he wanted them to be separate for other reasons also. That he realized that to take all his brothers and his father and all the grandchildren and shoot them into the middle of the height of Egyptian culture, so that wasn't going to be so good. So Yosef tried already from day one to create that geographic distance, which ultimately kept the Klai Yisrael together. We say Varav when we speak about how Klai Yisrael at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim weren't ready for the Geula, that Eirum the area. So Chazal say that it came time to be called Klai Yisrael. They didn't have any mitzvahs. They were Arum in a mitzvahs. They didn't have any chusim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them the two bloods, the blood of Karban Pesach and the blood of Mila. That's what we have. The Girsa of Amalach, there are actually two different Girsals. In the regular standard Haggadah, you don't have that one phrase with the Mayachi, but the Mayachayi. But in, I think the Ariya Kodesh added that to the, in his Nusra Haggadah, it's become already the standard in most of the Haggadahs today. So that phrase, the Amalach with the Mayachi, Amalach with the Mayachayi, so we're familiar, of course, with that. From Bris Milas, and Chazal say that but the Mayachi is referring to the Dama Pesach and to the Dama Mila. So this is, we've pointed this out in, if I said this over Brisim once or twice, if I Shalom Zochas once or twice over the years, but it's always important to remember that B'tamayachi means that there are two very different types of Dam, two very different types of commitments that we have to have. Dam always symbolic of Mesiris Nefesh and commitments, and we have to commit ourselves to the ideals of the Mila and commit ourselves to the ideal of Karban Pesach. And the fundamental difference between Mila and Karban Pesach, even though there are certain similarities, but the fundamental difference is that one is very private and one is very public, that the Dam of Mila is a very private relationship that nobody knows whether the person is mal or not, and the Dam of Karban Pesach, as everyone sees, it's the blood is mamish on the doorposts. So the idea being that we have to commit ourselves to both aspects of Avodas Hashem. There are some people who are very, very good at the chitzonius. They're very good at the show. They're very good at the dam on the doorposts. But somehow in the heart of hearts, so there's something lacking in the Avodas Hashem. And there are other people the other way. There are other people who have very, very good hearts. And they really have the heart in the right place. But their chitzonius shmiras hamitzvahs is lacking. And that's what our commitment has to be. That we don't emphasize one at the expense of the other. That they're both right. That they're both true. That Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be with the Mayachi. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us one mitzvah, he gave us two mitzvahs, that we have to dedicate ourselves and exhibit our Mesiris Nefesh to Kadosh Baruch Hu, both in the Dam of the Karban Pesach, as well as in terms of the Dam of the Mila. Okay, I think we got about halfway through now this time, so who's going to remember next year? Mitzvah, Volin L'Tayim, Vei Reo Sarah Mitzvah, okay? But we can bark in that gutter. Okay.
Everybody can take some chairs with them.